I invite you to turn your Bibles to 2 Corinthians chapter 9. 2 Corinthians chapter 9 is somewhat of a continuation of, 2 Corinthians chapter 8. The apostle gives testimony here, and starting in chapter 7, about the sending of Titus, or the coming of Titus to him. He seems to be en route on the way to Achaia, to that part of Greece where Corinth is. And he was much encouraged by the word that Titus brought. They evidently, the church there has responded to that first epistle and things that he wrote to them about. And then there's a boasting that the apostle has made. It's the way he's worded it, about the desire of the churches in Macedonia, there north of the Aegean Sea and skirting over into the northern part of modern-day Greece, about their, in spite of their physical inability or their financial inability, they have given to the need of other churches and other brethren. And so he is telling them at Corinth about that. He gave some instruction in the first epistle about the first day of the week, get everything together. That there'll be no gatherings when he comes. He said, give it, let it be collected, and when we come to you, we'll be able to take it on to where we're going. But in this chapter 8, he tells about he's sending Titus back to them, and if we hear it right in the scriptures here, in verse number 18 of chapter 8 and verse number 22 of chapter 8, other brethren too, our brethren, Our brother is mentioned in verse 23, our brother, and verse number 18, the brother. We don't know, these are nameless. We don't know who they are. We considered some about the brethren that it could be. It's no matter. We don't need to know who they are. But in following this thing of being upfront with money, upfront with a gift, he says that we don't need to give any room, that the ministry would be blamed about any mishandling. And he looks forward in verse number 24, wherefore show ye to them and before the churches the proof of your love by your giving and of our boasting on your behalf. Well, what I've declared about your willingness to do so. So verse number 1 of chapter 9, a continuation of that. Again, the thinking here in the need of others. He mentions also in this chapter, the previous chapter, chapter 8, about at a time of abundance for you, it can be a help to another. At a time of abundance for them, it can be a help to you and to others. With the theme of this being verse number 9 of chapter 8, for ye know the grace, the favor of our Lord Jesus Christ, that though he was rich, yet for your sakes he became poor, that ye through his poverty might be rich. He said, that's what we need to keep in our hearts and our minds as we go forward in this. Chapter 9, for as touching the ministering to the saints. So we have great clarity here about the help of other brothers and sisters, not to the poor in general, but to of the saints, churches, brothers and sisters in the churches that have need. It is superfluous, not a word that you and I use often, but it's not excessive. It is excessive, rather. Superfluous for me to write to you. He said, you know, but he's going to go ahead and do it anyway. For I know the forwardness of your mind, for which I boast of you to them of Macedonia. And so he told them about the Macedonian churches. And what were those churches? I prompted you to think about those churches in Macedonia. Certainly at Berea, there's no doubt a church was established there, we understand. At Philippi, for sure, written to. By the apostle. Thessalonica, written, two epistles written by the apostle. Apollonia is another town up there, and it's a town that he visited. Nothing mentioned in the scripture directly about a church being there. Amphipolis, another town that is in that region. Certainly it could have been a church there, brethren there, or Neapolis is another town. Certain towns, Berea, Thessalonica, Philippi, we know of a certainty that there were churches, but there could have been other churches too. And he does mention them plural, churches of Macedonia. He says, "For I know the forwardness of your mind, for which I boast of you to them of Macedonia, that Achaia," that's their region there in southern Greece, "was ready a year ago." Okay, and that's when he had written to them. So we get a time frame kind of thing too. "For your zeal hath provoked very many." He said, "I'm telling you about Macedonia that you might be encouraged. And what I've told others about you, the churches there, maybe even a church in Athens in that region of Achaia." He said, "I've told others about you, and that has provoked them too." This provoking to love and good works. "Yet have I sent the brethren," okay, "lest our boasting of you should be in vain in this behalf." Speaking about those mentioned, Titus and the other two, it seems, in chapter 8. "That as I said, ye may be ready." He said, I'm and these brethren coming to you to get it. I'm sending an encouragement to go ahead and get it done. Go ahead and get it on the move to those that need it. "Lest happily, if they of Macedonia come with me," brethren from those churches, as it would be that the apostle would travel, and brethren, we see it in the scriptures, see it in the book of Acts, they would join up with the apostle's troop and bring him to the next city or to the next city and then return back home. They would be there to help when there was a threat of danger. We see that done by the brethren to go and to be a help and encouragement and strength and protection to the apostle and to his group. He said, "Lest happily, if they of Macedonia come with me and find you unprepared." He said, "I want you to be prepared. You've committed to it. You've got instruction doing it. Let's go ahead and get it done. It's time. That we say not ye," he said, as he's written to them, "I'm in this with you. I love you. I have a desire for you. But ye should not be ashamed in this same confident boasting." He said, I've told about your dedication to this collection. And so make it so that it would be the case. Brother Jim, am I reading that right, that Brother Paul is concerned about appearances? He's concerned about commitment. He's concerned about commitment and the order and the pursuit of such. You know, we can be lulled into a thing that, and I tell you often, don't be burdened by what other people think of you. Now, let me clarify that, because what I mean is don't be burdened about what other people think of you about your obedience to the Lord. But in good behavior, in conversation, becoming of the gospel and of the Lord Jesus Christ, we need to do well with that in our witness, our testimony to others. Because what we do, what we say, how we move, what we commit to is a witness indeed. Sometimes our priorities might not line up with the priorities of the world. I tell you what, don't listen to what the world says. Because we can be tempted to say, well, the world's really putting pressure on me about this priority because I won't look good to the world. And I tell you what, don't worry about looking good to the world. But what does the Lord say? He is concerned about appearances. He says concerned about the commitment. And he said, having committed to this, it would be a shame for the brethren from Macedonia to come and them not see by now this being accomplished that you've committed to do. Our deportment, our conversation is important. And so he says, and these words are using the word boasting. You know, we try to steer away from the word boasting, don't we? Bragging. And we say that. And if there's only really one to brag on, that's our Lord. But he, from the standpoint of an apostle, a minister of the Lord, he's encouraging them. He's saying what you and I would say today, we kind of lean towards, I do personally. I'm mighty thankful for what you're convicted to do and what you've done. And thankfulness is a good thing. We're to be a thankful people, aren't we? But he uses this word, it's come through in the translation, is boasting, is bragging, that you should not, that you should be ashamed in this same confident boasting. He said, I don't want you to, I've bragged about you. I've told about what you've committed to. I don't want that to not be the case. Therefore, I thought it necessary to exhort the brethren that they would go before unto you, these three, maybe others with them of Macedonia. Maybe it's Titus and brethren from the churches in Macedonia. He said, I exhorted them that they would go before unto you. So he's sending them. Titus has come, brought a good word. It's encouraged the apostle about what he wrote to him in the first epistle. And now he's sending them back to go ahead and get this benevolence in the works, to put some feet on it and get it to the people that need it, the brethren that need it. Go before unto you and make up beforehand your bounty. Makes it very clear. It's money. It's stuff. It's a help, a physical help to the brethren there. As a matter of bounty and not as of covetousness. Not a thing of just wanting your stuff. You know, it's an attitude that can prevail. We've all seen it. We maybe have had times that we thought it. The way the world works at it, it was prevalent in our day. It's prevalent. It's coming, becoming prevalent in our nation. Well, you've got it. You ought to give it. If you've got it, you just ought to smear it around and spread it around everywhere. Well, you know what? We're all beholden and where we're at, wherever we're at financially, where we're at talent-wise, where we're at time-wise, to be a generous people. To be a benevolent people. But there's no party but our Lord for the children of God, and no party to be at hand to force people to be benevolent. But see, the socialist wants to do that. The communist wants to do that. And the thing is, the Lord says that we should be generous. And he says here, it's not a matter of bounty, as a matter of bounty, rather, not as of covetousness. You've got it, so we're going to get it. Not wanting your stuff. But this is an opportunity in your bounty to be a blessing to these. But this I say, I'm going to give you something here. He which soweth sparingly shall reap also sparingly. And you know, that's the way it is in everything, isn't it? In our Christian, our child of God walk, if we sow sparingly the gospel, we'll reap the gospel sparingly. If we sow stingily in benevolence, if we sow stingily in giving of ourselves, we'll reap sparingly. It's just one of those things that the Lord's put in place. It's just that way. And we're to be a generous and benevolent people in every aspect of our life. Brother Jim, I just don't have it. Well, maybe you don't have stuff. Maybe you got time. Maybe you got time and maybe you got talent. The Lord has equipped us and given us what we need, and we need to take it and use what he's given us for what he's put before us. But this I say, he which soweth sparingly shall reap also sparingly. And he which soweth bountifully shall reap also bountifully. Now, he's dealing directly with the giving of money or of stuff, food, clothing, whatever, for the sake of these other saints. Sow sparingly, reap sparingly. Sow bountifully, reap bountifully. And the thing is, don't make it to where like the Pharisees and the Sadducees, may we beware of this. You know how they like to give? They like to give alms. The alms are that directed for the need of the poor. They like to give it to where everybody knew what they were given. The Lord said they've got their reward. Tell you what, the best way to do it is do it as secretly as you can do it. Just before the Lord, having faith that the Lord will bless. Every man according, verse 7, as he purposeth in his heart. This is a thing of conviction. A thing of seeking God's face about what to do. a sensitivity to need that's at hand. To even go as far as to find out, is there a need? Is there a need? Father, is there a need that I can give of self or of stuff or of time to? Every man according as he purposeth in his heart, so let him give, not grudgingly or of a necessity. And it's said often with this passage that then the Lord will take it. The Lord will take it. He'll take it and he'll use it. But I tell you what, you miss out on the blessing if it's grudgingly. You miss out on the blessing if you feel like it's being squeezed. And I tell you what, this is it a squeeze of those around us? Again, in that regard, don't worry about what anyone around thinks that can know. Is it a squeeze from the Lord? I tell you what, a squeeze from the Lord needs to be listened to. He says, every man according as he has purposed in his heart, so let him give, not grudgingly or of necessity. For God loveth a cheerful giver. A cheerful giver. Our Lord has given greatly for us, hadn't he? He has given, and the Lord's not challenged in one thing. He's not challenged in one thing. You and I, we need stuff to live, and if we were ever brought to a point of giving to where we would not have enough for ourselves. We know that the Apostle Paul was near unto or in places like that. And most likely none of us have ever faced such a thing. The Lord's not challenged in anything. And the stuff of life and the creation, everything that the Lord can make, he's not challenged in any way in stuff at all. And the Lord's not challenged in anything. I say that. But the Lord gave his son. I tell you what, if there's anything that God ever got up close, again, the Lord's not challenged in anything, but there anything ever got up close and sensitive to the Lord, it would be his son. You hear what I'm getting at? He gave his son. How many of us would give our children? Would give our children for the sake of another? He did. He did for us. For God loveth a cheerful giver, because he's a cheerful giver. He enjoys giving, you know? He does. And God is able to make all grace, all favor abound toward you. Give cheerfully. Hear the call of the Lord to see the opportunity in this. Church there at Corinth, see the opportunity at hand. The Lord's able to make all his favor abound towards you, towards us, that ye always having all sufficiency in all may abound to every good work. He'll take care of you. He likes good works on the part of his children. He likes to see that. He likes to see that generosity, that sensitivity, that desire of his leadership, that pursuit of opportunity. He likes to see that. You know what? He'll take care of you. It'll be sufficient. He'll provide the sufficiency. Verse number 9, a supporting thought in regards to this. As it is written, he hath dispersed abroad. He hath given to the poor, his righteousness remaineth forever. A reference to Psalm 112:9. He hath dispersed abroad, he hath given to the poor, his righteousness remaineth forever. He enjoys mercifulness and graciousness on the part of his children. He likes to see that attribute in us. And then this passage that I referenced here recently and promised you in Proverbs chapter 9. Take a look at this. This was something Brother Parvin Hall, the Lord used Brother Parvin Hall to teach me many, many years ago to make this stick for me. In Proverbs chapter 19, verse number 17, he that hath pity upon the poor lendeth unto the Lord. Proverbs 19, 17. He that hath pity. And understand, there's many, many ways to be poor. There's the need of life, of food, of clothing, of shelter. There's the need of character things. There's the need of knowledge, wisdom from the Lord. He that hath pity upon the poor lendeth unto the Lord. I tell you what, it certainly applies to the physical. And that which he hath given, will he pay him again. You know, that's what Brother Parvin brought out, is that you give that to the need of someone in the name of and for the sake of the Lord and what he has brought in the opportunity and given conviction about it, he'll take care of you. He'll take care of you. I mean, of anybody that we could lend to, who is there better to be blessed by than the Lord? Amen? He won't ever forget, will he? He won't ever forget to rest in him and have faith in him about that. He that hath pity on the poor lendeth unto the Lord. And that which he hath given, will he, the Lord, pay him again. Very interesting. What a blessing. May the Lord help us in that. Back in 2 Corinthians chapter 9, verse number 10. Now he that ministereth seed to the sower, both minister bread for your food, and multiply your seed sown, and increase the fruits of your righteousness. Back to that reference there. This is a reference, as we understand it, in Isaiah 55. The other reference in verse number 9 was in Psalm 112, 9. Now he that ministereth seed to the sower, the sower needs seed, both minister bread for your food. So we see this about the seed. We're brought into this thing, I think we've touched on it here in the last many months, about the seed needs to be sown, and the seed is ground up to be made bread for consumption. It's both. It's both to be dispersed and to be consumed. Though the Word of God is namely the thing that we need to see in that. Now he that ministereth seed to the sower, both minister bread for your food and multiply your seed sown. There's in the sowing of the seed, there's a growing forth that there might be more to sow in future time. Amen? And increase the fruits of your righteousness. He said, continue on in this. The Lord, be faithful in this now, and the Lord will be faithful in things to come. There'll be more. If you will, get in the habit of being this way, of giving. Giving of the stuff of life, giving of self. He says it'll be a continuance. It'll be like our Lord is. Verse 11, being enriched in everything unto all bountifulness, which causes through us thanksgiving to God. You know, just to be involved in the work of the Lord, to be used of the Lord, to be a blessing. What's better? What's better? What is eternally tangible than that, right? Things that way. To be used of the Lord, to be a blessing, and knowing that the Lord has blessed with the opportunity, provided in the opportunity, and that he will bless with provision otherwise for the next and the next and the next. To be a witness of the Lord. To be a representative of the Lord. To be like the Lord. The Lord says, as we've seen in recent time over in the Gospels, He says, be merciful and be gracious like your Father is, that you might be the children of the highest. Being enriched in everything unto all bountifulness, enriched to all bountifulness, which causes through us thanksgiving to God. He says, to see this in you is going to make me very, very thankful. It's a great place to be. For the administration, verse 12, of this service not only supplieth, number one, the want of the saints. They've got a need. It's not that they're greedy of having. It's not talking about want that way. It's talking, they've got a need and they need help. They could be relieved by your bounty, your blessing, your generosity. Being enriched for this, the administration of this service not only supplieth to the one of the saints, but is, number two, abundant also by many thanksgivings unto God. The Lord is praised. The receiver says, thank you, Lord. Right on time. Who would ever thought that it would have come in the mail, that it would have come through the door right here when we needed it? How many accounts have we heard of that from missionaries, from brothers and sisters, and facing different things in the service of the Lord, or having hard times and being without work? And they said, right on time, right on time. Remember what Brother John told us about how it was with his grandmother and, you know, grandfather and grandmother, Orville and Marie, and how they wanted to keep the minister, and Orville's out of work, things are getting skinny, and what they had was either pay the bills or go buy food to keep the preacher that was coming for the meeting. And they said, we're going to keep the minister because we want to do that for the Lord and do that for him and have that fellowship. And just so happens, a wheat car broke down on the railroad tracks right in front of their house. And they had to work on it, and they had to open up the gate, or the gate was busted, and that wheat came out on the ground. They had to shovel it away. Orville wasn't working. He went out there and shoveled it away so they could get it all repaired and got it all buttoned up. And they came, took the train, the car away. And Orville said, what are you going to do with this wheat? He said, you can have it. And an adopted daughter of theirs said, hey, Orville, you can take that wheat down here to the elevator and sell it. And they got enough money out of the wheat to take care of the bills. They were thankful to the Lord. It wasn't just that a lucky thing happened, but the Lord honored that faithfulness. And you know what? The Lord is glorified. See, when we're grudging, am I glorifying the Lord as a giver? No. But I tell you what, seeing the opportunity and the blessing to do so the Lord has provided me, I can thank the Lord for the blessing, not being a grudging giver. And the Lord is praised in that. And then on the receiver, the Lord is praised in that. And as we've seen on Wednesday nights, the Lord will reward in a great, great way, even in the kingdom to come. He says, for the administration of this service not only supplieth the want of the saints, but is abundant also by many thanksgivings unto God. Thanksgivings on the receivers for sure, but with spiritual maturity, thanksgiving on the part of the giver too. Verse 13. Whilst the experiment of this ministration, they glorify God for your professed subjection unto the gospel of Christ, and for your liberal distribution unto them and unto all. The rejoicing of the receivers, the liberal distribution, the praising of God and the working of God. Just one facet of life and service, walking with the Lord. And by their prayer, verse 14, for you, which long after you for the exceeding grace, the favor of God in you. Lord, take this and help them. take this and multiply this into them that they might be helped. And not given by obligation. Hey, do you remember when we bailed you all out so many years ago? No. Doing it, rejoicing with it, that thanksgiving comes to you personally, or it is known in that. Be humble in it and praise the Lord for the blessing of the Lord being upon all of us together. To be used of the Lord, to be the recipient of the blessing of the Lord and the directing of the Lord, to be the instrument and means of the Lord for the care of his children. Tell you what, it is a blessing indeed. Then we come to verse 15. Thanks be unto God for his unspeakable gift. You and I know that the Lord Jesus Christ is the great gift that the Lord has given. I mean, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son. And if you're here and saved, you say, he gave him for me. But is that gift unspoken? Unspeakable? That gift is known, and by no means to diminish it or anything. But is that the context of the chapter? We've not heard about the Lord Jesus and he being poor for our sakes, being rich and becoming poor for our sakes, that we might, through his poverty, might be made rich. We've not heard about any connection with the Lord Jesus Christ since chapter 8. Thanks be unto God for his unspeakable gift. And certainly the gift of our Lord Jesus, the gift of the Father of giving the Lord Jesus giving himself. It is the greatest gift given unto us. The salvation, the sacrifice, the atonement, the redemption, imputation, all those things are wrapped up in the Lord Jesus. But is it unspeakable? Well, it's undescribable because we struggle to describe it. So in that respect, yes. But what's the context here? I wonder. I just give you this to think about. And this is the reason that I say this at the time that we take up the tithes and offerings of the membership on Sunday morning. God has certainly given to us. He does all the time. He has all of our lives. And you know what he's done for us? We can never give like him. But he has given to us that we may be givers in representation of him. And that is a gift. To be a giver like the Lord, like unto the Lord. Never, by no means ever matching him. To be the instrument and the means of his giving. Because who is it that's given to the saints in Macedonia? It's the Lord, isn't it? He's just using the saints down there in Achaia, right? I mean, it's all in him and his working and his moving and his children. Thanks be unto God for his unspeakable gift. He's given us himself. He's given us his Son. He's given us attributes like him. He's given us character like Christ to be a giver. To be a giver. And may we be givers like our Lord. May the Lord help us in that.